Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Reese, Bibbs, put the game on, man. I'm trying to see what Luka and them boys gonna do tonight, man. Mavs Outside This Podcast. Y'all know what time it is.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back yet again to another edition of the Mavs Outsiders Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mike Bibbins. On Twitter at Bibbs Corner, joined as always by my co-host Reese Williams at Mind of Reese in most places, but he got jailed and had to switch his identity. So at MFR25 on Twitter. Reese, how you feeling today? You might have to unmute for us to understand what you're talking about.
Take two. I am ecstatic, actually. I get to fulfill a lifelong dream this coming up, this week coming up. I will be going to WrestleMania. I will be attending WrestleMania. We're doing a lot of things, a lot of shows. I'll be busy every single day, basically. And I'm excited, you know? Glad we could get this in today. Was some setbacks for my trip as far as money goes, but you know, that's life. Nothing crazy. I'm still be good. But other than that, yeah, I can't wait. I was hoping to come on here and cut my Roman Reigns promo, but things didn't work out that way. You must didn't see the tweet.
I missed it. I did.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not familiar. You don't know who Roman Reigns is, so that's like,
I know who he is. Don't do that.
Oh, my bad. Anyway, I put on Twitter, I said, if the Mavs go out on national television.
Oh, yeah. I did see that tweet.
No Roman Reigns promo, y'all. Sorry.
I was trying to pretend that never happened because that game pissed me off a little bit, but we'll get there.
The way people talking, I'm glad I was asleep.
We'll get there. I don't think it wasn't that bad. I don't know why. People are tripping a lot. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that. We got a little bit to talk about, I guess. We're not going to do an hour of non-basketball content today.
Yeah.
Got places to be, things to see. But I do have to do the weekly promo. First of all, depending on how new you are, you may need to know that you should check the show notes just to make sure we did not talk about non-basketball things for an hour. If you are only here for the basketball things, I've stopped getting super detailed with the show notes, but I at least tell you the basketball talk starts at a certain point. So if that's all you're here for, you can actually get straight to that. If you would like, feel free to skip ahead with the show notes. Additionally, I have to push the subscriptions. It's not something I've had to do for a long time, but please, if you're an Apple listener, make sure you subscribe to the new feed. We had to change the feed when we switched over to our new network, so make sure you subscribe to the new Apple feed. Our Apple listeners have not gone back to where they were pre-switch, which is a little disappointing, but at the same time, I get it. Between our activity dropping off a little while and the new feed situation, you usually don't have to resubscribe to something you've been listening to for years. I get it, but make sure you subscribe to the new feed. We also need to get those reviews up. I see them trickling in slowly, but if you can send us a review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. If you want to leave a little comment, that would be fantastic. Appreciate it if you already have Spotify. If you have not left a review, do it there as well. Our Spotify listeners are actually higher than our Apple listeners right now, which is a first. So that's how I know the Apple listeners have not come back over from the Switch. But that's okay. Plenty of time. Also have to push the Patreon. We do have the Patreon $5 tier. You get the video of the regular show and the NBA show. Full unedited, no ads, none of that on the Patreon. Different special activities we do, depending on what tier you're in. Go to the link in the Mav Outsiders pod bio on Twitter if you're trying to get to the Patreon, or hit one of us up. I did have somebody ask for the link to the Patreon, and I was glad to give it to them. At the lowest tier, I think was it a $3 tier? Yeah. The $3 tier, you can get into the Fantasy League next year. We do want to get more people in that. And we talked about it last week, but I do have to bring it back up. I was overwhelmed by the generosity. But so last week we talked about it. Dylan Seegers won the Mavs Outsiders Fantasy League, took me off, took my crown. It's all good. Took Reese and myself out back to back in the semifinals and finals. Like, that's if you're gonna beat us for the cast, that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
But before I even reached out, or before we fully reached out to Dylan, obviously we talked about it on the pod. He sent us a message stating that if we still had the Patreon up for my fiance, that we could just give the money towards that. And on top of that, he went and made an additional donation. So shout out to Dylan.
Shout out to Dylan, man. That's when I was looking at the notes, I was like, Dylan, shout out. I'm like, well, we shouted out Dylan last week. We shouting him out for winning again. I didn't know that. That's dope. Shout out to Dylan.
Yeah, I think
that makes me want to give you something just because.
So we definitely appreciate that. It's funny, like, I had been talking to her about the league and like about me potentially winning the championship for the second year in a row, and like, you know, it had been a joke with us, we were laughing about it, and so I told her I'd lost, and you know, and I was going to be paying out to the guy, and then when he sent that message, I let her know, and it about got her emotional. So appreciate you, Dylan. Appreciate you thinking about us at all. And if anybody out there did want to donate, it still would be helpful. She has not gone back to work yet since this has all gone down. We're still okay for maybe another month or so. But if you did want to go out to the link, if you go to my Twitter account under the highlights tab, the link to the Patreon is still saved, so you can still donate if you wanted to.
Is it a Patreon or is it the GoFundMe?
The GoFundMe, damn.
Okay, I was trying to figure out if they was two different things. Okay.
Yeah. The link to the GoFundMe is the first thing saved in my highlights on Twitter. So if you did want to donate, anything helps. Like I said, we should be good for at least another month or so. But the longer we can push that out, the better, the less pressure that there is. So we are still working on that. But again, appreciate you, Dylan. Everything count. Everything helps. Everything matters. Even just the idea of reaching out and just saying, hope everything's, you know, getting better. Hope you're healing, whatever the case may be. All of us appreciate it. So thank you once again. I won't linger on that too much longer. Let's get to some more fun stuff here. You been watching anything this past week?
Yes, I did.
I don't like the look on your face, but
the only thing I have to review,
okay,
is Godzilla Kong: The New Empire.
Right.
I was very excited for this film. You know, popcorn film. All this shit about to be crazy. Godzilla, there's some WWE tag team match main event shit. You know, that's how it looked, and that's exactly what it was. Now let me say this. I'm not gonna go into detail, but I'm going to talk about this film from the perspective I saw it in. Okay. So if you don't want to hear anything about this film, which I don't know why, whatever, read the show notes and skip through. Won't be long. Maybe you could skip 5 minutes ahead. First of all, I like the first one better. Okay. off the rip, this gets like a 5 or 6 out of 10 to me. Way too much human shit that I did not care about. Tyree Henry, stop doing these fucking movies.
Way too much human shit is crazy, but continue.
Yeah, way too much human shit.
That's an absurd sentence, but continue.
I was there for Godzilla, Kong. Godzilla was barely in the movie. Every scene Kong was in was cool. Too much human shit.
Gotcha.
Let me say this, as far as that. Here's my perspective of the film, you know? Godzilla is, I mean, that's not Godzilla. Kong is in Hollow Earth, which is a separate, I'm not even going to get into that. Kong believes he's the last of his species, but he finds an undiscovered location in Hollow Earth. And when he gets there, he meets this little, you know, this little tiny monkey, still gigantic to us, but this little tiny monkey. And he thinks it's cute. And the little motherfucker bites him. And then Kong gets jumped by 3 crackhead monkeys and this little monkey. So he grabs the little monkey and starts beating the crackhead monkeys with the little monkey.
Hey, yo.
Motherfucker pulls out a shank trying to stab Kong.
What?
Kong's fighting him. Dude falls off the cliff. Kong grabs his arm like, hey, man, you know, I know y'all try to kill this. He ain't saying this, obviously. I know y'all trying to kill me, but you know, y'all the last of my kind. I'm going to help you anyway. Okay. Kong turns his back. Motherfucker tries to stab him anyway. Kong kicks his ass off the cliff like, all right, motherfucker, I tried to help you. Like, shit, here's what it is now. So one of the crackheads like, damn, he whooping ass. Like, I need to get the fuck out of here. So the crackhead monkey started running away. Kong picks up a rock, throws that motherfucker, hits him in the head. Bow! Only one left is the little crackhead monkey. The little kid monkey. Now, granted, in every scene Kong is in with these other creatures, there's no words, there's no talking, there's no dialogue, just grunts, facial expressions, you know. And I like it because you understand everything that's going on. You don't even need to hear them talk. You understand the context. You understand what's going on, which is why I said it was too much human stuff. Just give me more Kong. That's all I needed. So he basically like, hey, you going to show me where the rest of everybody else is at? Lead the way. Okay. So the little one leads him to the water. And you think, oh, yeah, they taking a bath. They drinking water. It's all cool. But he looked kind of suspicious, like something going on, like he's setting them up. So this sea dragon rolls up on Kong and the little one start running away. He start booking it. Next thing you know, we see the little monkey running in the forest and like he trips because Kong throws his axe. And next thing you know, Kong pops up with the sea dragon head like, yeah, you really tried it. Keep walking, motherfucker. Next thing you know, they sitting on the cliff, Kong eating the sea dragon or whatever. And the little one over there like, man, that shit sure do look good. I mean, kind of hungry myself, you know, but I ain't going to ask. So Kong throw him a little something, you know. They start eating together. They start bonding. Meanwhile, while all of this is going on, Debo is on Earth just doing whatever. Like, he pulled up on this other kaiju monster that was minding his motherfucking business, went into his domain, killed the nigga, chilled in his crib for a little bit to absorb all the energy that was there, then left.
What?
Back to Kong. So the little man takes him to where all the other monkeys are. There is this hidden place with lava. They all look like crackheads. They all look like slaves. My brother said they had alopecia.
They had no shea butter down there?
They had no shea butter, no nothing. They all junkies down that motherfucker. So there's a king that rules. The Scar King. Big, tall, lanky, Victor Wembanyama looking motherfucker. With a whip made of a spine. Which I'm assuming is a spine. So Kong comes out there, you know, causing trouble. Because Kong big and bad, you know. Guy says something to Kong, start getting in his face. Kong punches the motherfucker, knocks him out cold. Sleep.
The one with the whip?
Nah, just a random dude. Okay. And people start acting like, whoa, hold up. This We don't do this here. What's going on? So the king gets alerted. He like, hold up, there's something in my mouth for like causing trouble and shit. So he gets up off his throne, walks over. And earlier in the film, Kong had to get his tooth replaced because he had a toothache. A big fake tooth.
Who did that?
A veterinarian. So, the Scar King, the big lanky motherfucker, walks up to Kong and he's all he does is start laughing and pointing at him while he looking at his other homies like, ah, oh, this motherfucker got a fake tooth. Like, he roll up in here. What he think this is? So they get to fight. Scar King start getting with a mop, hit him with the whip, all that shit, right? So Kong get the best of him, slam his ass, boom. And Scar King probably in his head like, oh shit, this motherfucker got hands. So at the end of his whip, he got this little spear crystal thing, right? And he points it. Like, yeah, you thought this shit was a game? All right, bet. He points it. Waterfall opens. And it's another kaiju monster that he's controlling with this spear tip.
So it's like an antenna.
Which is basically Ice Godzilla.
Okay.
Ice Godzilla. He forces Ice Godzilla to shoot the ice beam at Kong, freezes his hand. But Lord Godzilla, not the Lord Godzilla, the Lord Kong is like, hey, we gotta get up out of here. Like, it's a way out. Come on, let's go. They get up out of there, whatever. Kong has frostbite on his arm. There's a whole civilization of people in this place. I just want you to know, everything I said happened exactly like I said it. This is the craziest movie I've ever fucking seen. I saw Godzilla suplex Kong off the top of a pyramid.
What?
This is the craziest movie I've ever fucking seen. When they wrote this shit, they were on crack. Pure crack. That's my synopsis of Godzilla versus Kong: A New Empire. There's a I'm not spoiling. I'm not going through the whole movie. I didn't want to spoil it. I just wanted to talk about that crazy ass section. But yeah, it 5 or 6 out of 10 for me. That's all I watched.
I was gonna say because you didn't say nothing about a human, so I was confused. But yeah, that's
because that shit was boring, and I
got you.
Yeah,
I got you. Okay. Yeah,
literally the humans were there for exposition and that's it.
Gotcha. Because they didn't think that with the grunts and the fighting was enough.
I guess it was enough for me.
Told you I saw a movie, I guess it was around Christmas, called Silent Night.
Yeah. Yeah. With I know the guy, but I can't think of his name.
From Suicide Squad.
Who?
From Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like pretty much no dialogue, all action. And there was some emotional stuff too, but it was like barely any dialogue. It was just all hands. Like his throat got cut out, he couldn't talk. And even his conversations with his wife, it was just like all like expressions stuff for the most part.
Well, that's different because the main character doesn't have dialogue, but everyone else does. Like Sisu.
Not really.
Really?
Because we just follow him.
Oh, okay. I mean, even in Sisu, he didn't have dialogue, but the other people did, so.
Yeah, but yeah, it was enough of like, it was enough of like no talking for it to, you could justify a damn Kong movie with pretty much no words.
Honestly, yeah, you could.
If you were creative enough, but not everybody.
I'm pretty sure everyone who went, no one would have left that movie. If it was just Kong and Godzilla and there was no dialogue and it's just like you understand everything that's going on, I'm pretty sure no one would have left that movie saying, damn, I wish it was more humans in it talking. Like, no one would have said that. So, it is what it is.
Something to keep in mind for the future, I guess.
They won't. They have to put humans into these movies, even though the selling point, Transformers, selling point is the Autobots and the Decepticons. Godzilla, yeah. Kong, the selling point is Godzilla and Kong.
Except Brian Tyree Henry was in it, right?
Yeah, he was in the last one too, and he was terrible in this one, and I just
terrible.
Shit was awful.
Well, that's how I know that it was bad. All right.
Just awfully written stuff for him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he must have got a bag for it. Shout out to him for taking that bag, because that's embarrassing. Like, he's too good an actor to be wasted like that. all right. Been doing some catch up. I'm not gonna spend a ton of time on it. I did watch What If season 2. Did you watch it?
Yeah. I watched when it came out.
Right. Definitely like the Native American storyline. I think it was Corey.
Yeah, I like that one.
I like the finale. I liked the hella action. But there were some good moments in most of the episodes. I think I listened to the Midnight Boys yesterday talk about it, and I think Charles had a lot to say about Happy Hogan. But I thought that what's his name? The villain. Who's the villain that was robbing Iron Man in that one? Is it Hammer? Justin Hammer?
Justin Hammer, yeah.
Justin Hammer was hilarious. He had some great lines in that one episode. And I don't know. I had enough fun with it to not be annoyed and like not want to watch anymore. Felt like they didn't hit as hard as the first season did. And they maybe had too much fun. Like, they just let people have creative control and do whatever they wanted instead of having like a real good story all the way through, in my opinion.
I didn't need a through line story. Like, I don't mind. Like, they took the season one approach with like, all these many things throughout the episodes all leading up to this finale. I didn't like that. It felt like the Captain Carter show, to be quite honest, but it is what it is. I wasn't a fan of the finale at all. But I mean, no, I didn't enjoy it as much as season one. A lot of the stuff just seemed like just crazy. Like, what if season one's felt more like, for majority of the episodes, you know this story. What if this happened in this story instead? Most of the stuff in this season didn't feel like that. It just felt like, oh, let's just do something different with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, and the first
season, bad. I just didn't enjoy it as much as season.
The first season, it felt intentional in the sense that like they wanted you to see things because they're going to use it later, potentially, in the MCU. These did not feel like that. These were strictly like, and they talked about they're doing the Marvel Spotlight thing, and you know, Echo's a Marvel Spotlight. So this felt more like, all right, we're not worried about the main continuity. We just gonna have some offshoot storylines.
Yeah.
Which again is fine, but I hope they go a little bit of a different direction next season. And there is gonna be a next season, I believe.
Yeah. They teased it at the end.
Yeah. So
not at the end, I'm sorry, it was online.
I watched the first episode of Echo as well, which was pretty much just a summary of
Hawkeye,
what we saw from Hawkeye, and like a little bit more of her backstory. I have no idea where this is going. Well, I kind of have an idea, but I don't know how the show is going to go. But I'm gonna keep watching it based on what I saw so far.
You have no idea where this show is going to go.
I was surprised by the appearance of a certain hero in the first episode, but other than that, again, it was pretty much just a summary of what we already saw. Not gonna spend too much time on that now. For the fun stuff, first of all, I put Attack on Titan on the list late. I just wanted to mention, so my fiance, her daughter does like Attack on Titan. She likes anime. She's reading like the books for Attack on Titan, the manga. Yeah, like she's reading all that. And so her mom was like, you know what? I'm going to put this little show on because I don't understand. Her daughter was saying something about how her uncle likes to mess with her. And she said he was running at me like them Titans be running. And I ain't like that. So her mom was like, what the hell are these Titans doing? Like, what's going on? And like, she had said something about the cheeks being out, something like that. So she had to see the Titans. And so she ended up watching the first 5 episodes, but she's tapped in, she's locked in, and she's going to be checking it out. But she started falling asleep on it last night. And so she was like talking, going through what she remembered about each character. And she was like, so where's Makisha at? Like at this point. And I was like, who? She said, where Makisha at? I said, Makisha.
Oh my God.
Like Makisha. She was like, you know who I mean. Don't play with me. Then her daughter had gotten in the car. She was like, if I told you that I want to know something about Makisha from Attack on Titan, what you gonna say? And the daughter was confused at first too. And then she said, you mean Mikasa?
Mikasa, yes.
So she blacked out? Like, that's what's happening? And then she tried to play it off. She said she do kind of got black energy.
She's Asian as fuck.
But it was hilarious. Like, I was like, all right, she might be enjoying it too much. She calling her Makisha.
Way too much. Makisha is crazy.
Speaking of Makisha, not really. But if you had told me that I would be watching a BET Plus show and actually enjoying it, I would have said you were lying. But I am actually enjoying this show. Before you roll your eyes, Diara from Detroit is certified. Let me break it down for you. First of all, the creator of the show is, she had a show on ABC previously. It only did one season and I guess got canceled. I'm actually going to pull it up real quick. Her name is Diara Walker. But she had a show. I think she was in one of those like pilot programs. Diara Kilpatrick is her real name. She had a show that was on one of those like pilot programs where they get new creatives and help them make a show or whatever. But the show got canceled after one season. American Coco was the name of the show. I think it did only have 13 episodes, one season. It got canceled. She's actually pretty well versed as an actress. And then as a writer, I'm trying to find some stuff she's been on, or she did. She did 20 episodes of The Last OG. Besides her time with her TV series American Coco, and as far as like acting, she did an episode of House. She did an episode of The Game. Young and Restless. I'm trying to find Mike and Molly. Private Practice. She did 5 episodes. Episode of Southland. Lila and Eve, she was in that movie with is that Jennifer Lopez and what's her name? I gotta pull up the actual, I forgot Viola Davis. There we go. So she was in that movie, episode of Major Crime. So she's not like somebody that's not known. She did an episode of the new Twilight Zone as well, and the movie Nash Bridges, the TV movie. Anyway, long story short, she's also in Perry Mason, 13 episodes of Perry Mason. Long story short, I feel like she took an opportunity with a smaller streamer to have creative control with this show, Diara from Detroit. It has the girl from Insecure. What's her name on Insecure? It was the girl that from the bank.
I didn't watch Insecure.
People who watch Insecure will know. The girl from the bank. You've seen the clip, I'm sure.
I probably have not, to be honest.
You've seen the clip. If I know you, you've seen the clip. That she's famous for. I'm not even going to say it on here because I'm not trying to get you started or activated. But anyway, yes. Oh, wow. Morris Chestnut is in it.
Let me look it up.
All right, I got to find her.
Bank scene.
I got to find her name. What is her name? This ain't her character. Somebody is screaming at the podcast right now.
Insecure bank teller.
Okay. Her name is Dominique Perry. Yeah.
Do I know? Have I ever seen this person?
Played Tasha in Insecure.
I've never seen her.
If you look up Tasha Insecure, you probably will get it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I've never seen her before.
All right. I think she was in, Rap Shit that just got canceled with Issa Rae. As well, I think she was in an episode of Black. She was in Black Jesus. But anyway, she's in it. She plays a friend of the main character. Morris Chestnut plays her husband, who she's getting divorced from. What's her name? I hate that they don't have the series cast in order of importance, just because they haven't told you who's all in the show. What is her name? Felicia Rashad is in this.
Wow.
A lot of good cast members. And in the last episode, John Sally and Cash Doll were in it as well. Long story short, the show is like Insecure meets like a murder mystery type thing. So she's getting a divorce from Morris Chestnut, who was like a big time. He got money, basically. She's a school teacher. And because they're getting divorced, she goes back to her roots, goes back into her mom's house, links up with like a childhood friend, the girl that she says taught her how to cuss, but now she's like a family person. She got kids, she got a husband, and she not who she used to be type of thing. Her first night at the crib, dude breaks in the house and is trying to rob her. In the middle of getting robbed, she realized this is like a childhood friend of hers, and she like, nigga, what? Take the damn mat. I know you ain't, I've been in here one day, you already trying to rob. He like, oh shit, I didn't know you was bad. I didn't know your people still own this house. That's dope. What's up? Gun to her head like 5 seconds ago. And then it like jumped forward. She in there feeding them and stuff. Like, it was two dudes. He tell the other dude, take off his mask. Oh, this my little stepson, such and such. Like, to say hi to my childhood friend. Like, y'all both just had guns to this woman's head. He's like, sorry, ma'am. He's like, yeah, I'm just trying to teach him, you know, a few things here and there. And he was like, you know, I know you're going through it with your mom passing away. You know, maybe you should talk to my therapist. And she was like, you really think I need to talk to the therapist or somebody who ain't convinced you to stop robbing people yet? She was like, well, she want to get paid, so I got to do what I got to do. But he was like, she want to get paid, so I got to do what I got to do. But it's that type of show. It's a comedy. She ended up getting on like a dating app, linking up with this dude. Things go well, but then he ghosts her. And then she realizes that he fits the aged progression photo of a child who got kidnapped when they were kids. And so the show is about her and her friends trying to figure out if this guy is that kid that got kidnapped and why he's missing again. And so it starts to unravel like a local underground crime syndicate type situation. But it's funny, and the mystery stuff is good too at the same time. Like, it doesn't feel like a BT Plus show at all.
Okay, that's good.
Besides the fact that the lead is black.
Okay.
It's funny, it's raw. There's violence, like people get killed in this thing. Felicia Rashad plays the mother of the boy who got kidnapped. It'll do flashbacks to when it first happened, like when the kid was small, and like give you little clues here and there. And then there's like stuff happening in the present day as well. And again, it's hilarious. John Sally is like he plays pretty much a version of himself, a former Detroit Pistons player that had some controversies back in the day, who is somehow potentially linked to this whole crime or whatever. And then Cash Doll is like one of his like muscle for the underground poker game.
I also think it's hilarious how you call her Cash Doll, like the way you pronounce it. This the emphasis on doll is hilarious.
How do you pronounce it?
You could just say Cash Doll.
I'm calling her Cash Doll.
Okay.
But anyway, show is hilarious. I got to do the promo. I might have to reach out and see about an interview, but we'll worry about that when we get to that. It's only four episodes out so far. It comes out every week. Let me see what day of the week does it come on. And next episode comes on tomorrow. It's going to be at least 6 episodes, maybe 8. And so far, we're only 4 episodes in. They do like an after show, like 5-6 minute after show with cast members to talk about the episode. And from the way that they do it, it feels like they don't have all the scripts, because she's asking characters like, who do you think are your top suspects right now? And like, they're actually giving her responses like they don't really know who is actually the person behind this crime. But yeah, that's it. They also, one small note, people talked about Morris Chestnut, like they didn't know he could be funny like this, but like he's been fun. And like, they had a scene where he came to her job at the school to talk to her about something they were arguing over for the divorce. And the reason they're getting a divorce is because he asked for an open marriage. And she said, that told me that you were cheating. And he was like, I wasn't cheating. But like, the woman that she saw him with is the woman that he's now with. So it feel like it confirmed her suspicions. But he like, and the woman was like, you know, we never did anything until after y'all separated. So, but it was like, you were trying to do something.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's enough of that. It's Diara from Detroit is the name of the show. And like I said, I'm enjoying it so far. I wasn't expecting to. Like, when she said she was watching, I was like, yeah, you enjoy that. But then, like, I started hearing some stuff. I was like, hold up, fire that back up from the beginning real quick. I'm trying to see something. It is actually hilarious. We're about 30 minutes in. Let's get to the basketball. Three games, 2-1. Seven game win streak over. Was it seven games? Yeah. We beat the Kings again. And I think after this game, because we were losing, we came back. And the way we closed that game, I made the note that it's a sign of this team being who we said they were. And that's a team that you cannot let us stay close, because we got two deadly dudes on the roster, and we can beat pretty much anybody if we're close in that fourth quarter. We then came out and smacked the Rockets down, took away their thunder. The run that they were on, we took Luka, clapped Jalen Green for the player of the month. And all was looking good. Speaking of the player of the month, Luka and Jalen Brunson, players of the month. Any thoughts from you?
Very funny, very ironic. Love to see it.
So I had one of my Raptors people come at me like, "You doing all right?" And I was like, "Hey man, I'm fine with Jalen Brunson having left. He did what he had to do. They played him, and he played us back. Like that's
I can't believe people still asking shit like that. Like
the way the cookie crumbles, the way I see it. Nothing. I'm not hurt by that at all. Shout out to Jalen Brunson. I do have a follow up question on that, but I guess I should say that for the NBA show. Any thoughts on those first two games that you wanted to share?
I think the Kings game was my favorite one probably this season, because it showed our resolve and the way they closed it out. It wasn't even just the Luka Kyrie show. Like, it showed Luka trusted his teammates.
Yeah.
Even when they were missing, Dante Exum still continued to trust his teammates. Everybody stepped up. Even Tim was playing some good defense in that game. So, most other times, those fucking the threes that were falling from the Kings would have demoralized this team. I think Jason Kidd did a good coaching job that game as well. He's been doing a good coaching job for the stretch for the most part in general. Want to give him his flowers. Not too much, because I don't want him to get an extension. But yeah, that was probably my favorite win this season. And then they came back against the Rockets. I had put on Twitter, I said, all right, this is going to be the test. Like, this team is hot. They hungry. They fighting for a playoff spot. What we going to do? And we came out and put our foot so far up their ass, they still chewing our toenails. Like, it was bad. Yeah, so love to see it. The defensive scheme that game was fantastic. They respected Jalen Green, which says a lot about Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Doubling him on the pick and roll out the gate. Didn't even wait for him to get hot or anything. Dante Exum played fantastic defense on him. Yeah, I love what I saw.
Okay. So everything was good. Everything was rolling. But then we played the Warriors. And I think we both thought that we would be okay. Oh, Derek Lively did get hurt.
I heard that.
Yeah. In the Rockets game, they said he may be out up to 2 weeks. So that kind of threw some things off, right? But we go into a game against the Warriors where they don't really play bigs much. And so I thought, you know, maybe not having Lively not going to be a huge deal. But not having Lively meant that the rotations that had gotten comfortable, that had started flowing and gelling and working together well, we're not going to be available to Jason Kidd, and that Jason Kidd will be doing some different things. One of those different things that he did in the game against the Warriors was playing Dwight Powell. Tim Hardaway Jr. played 26 minutes. Dwight played 9. Just 16 from Maxey, 8 from Jaden Hardy off the bench. All your regular people got most of their regular minutes. That's PJ, Gafford, Kyrie, and Luka. All 27 plus minutes, 27 to 40 minutes between those core four, if you will. Derrick Jones Jr. played 18 minutes. Was a close game. Finished 100 to 104. There were some moments where we got down big. We went on big runs. We got up big. We gave up big runs. Like, it was a back and forth affair. The Warriors are playing for their damn lives. So everything, they put everything on the line. It looked like they were a desperate team trying to accomplish some things. Steph only had 13 points.
Yeah, I saw that. I looked at the box score, which was crazy.
He was 5 for 18 on the night. Andrew Wiggins, however, was the one who killed us.
Yeah.
And felt like every score he got was a dagger the entire game. Just deadly. Chris Paul, 14 points as well. Also had some daggers on us. And then Moses Moody off the bench had 12. Big Moses. You don't remember Kendrick?
Oh, Perkins? Yes. Like the most
thing possible. I don't know how Kendrick Perkins was struggling with that man's name.
Oh my God, I remember that shit.
So bad. But I saw a lot of finger pointing in this game for a lot of different reasons. I'm not going to point fingers specifically. There's a lot of things that went wrong in this game. But for me, if I'm going to point out some things, the thing that I'm going to point out is, and I hate doing this sometimes because I know how people react, but I have to point out Luka, and I have to point out Luka's defensive effort. I am not asking Luka to be a clamp god. I am not asking Luka to be chasing nobody around no damn screens. All I'm asking is that if he has a man, that he is aware of where his man is on the basketball court, because his inability to keep track of his man cost us at least 15 points. At least 15 points were specifically situations where Luka had a man and did not know where the hell he was. Whether it was somebody cutting back door on him, somebody wide open on the three-point line, who he maybe then closed out to too aggressively and allowed them to run right past him. Those types of situations cannot occur at the rate that they currently do. And I bring that up as my reason for the loss, because that is something that should be easily fixable and something that could be easily preventable. All he had to do to cut that number in half, which would be the difference in the game, if he cut 15 in half, you got 7. We would have won by 3 in that scenario. A couple of those possessions, if he had been paying attention, he probably has a steal. A couple of those possessions, if he's paying attention, the ball gets swung another time and away from him. A couple of those possessions where he wasn't paying attention and maybe somebody got a rebound. Like those type of things, small details, but all it has to be is that he stops ball watching so much and just chilling out in the paint. Know who you're supposed to be responsible for. Move around, move your head, move your hands, at least make the defense think that you know who you're guarding, because the Warriors are a smart team and they exploit that. In the course of a series, teams are going to have to exploit things like that, and the Warriors are one of the best teams at it. They're going to do that every single time. They didn't go at him, like try to ISO him. They off-balled him, and it was effective. That was the difference in the game for me.
I think what sucked the most is, and it's going to be hard to do anyway, but the Clippers lost that night. And if we would have won that night, we could have been a little bit closer. If y'all listen to We Talk Mavs, they pointed out the fact that, yeah, we're 2 games behind, but we're technically 3 games behind because the Clippers own the tiebreaker. So, you know, it's very hard to get to that 4 spot, but you want to take advantage of every chance you can get. Mm. But we'll see the Warriors again in a few days.
Yeah, and it'll be a measuring stick for me, because no doubt in my mind that we are the better team, but they are, again, the more desperate team. Like, we still got work to do. Like, if we go on a losing streak, we could fall back into the play-in. That's a thing that could occur. But they are fighting to stay in the play-in. They got a little bit of breathing room now between us beating the Rockets and losing to them specifically. But they have a little bit more to fight for, and they're feeling good. They're feeling good about themselves now. I'm looking forward to that game. That's going to be a game that tells me how confident I really should be going into this playoff scenario, playoff situation. But yeah, two specific plays. GP2 cut back door on Luka late in the game for an easy bucket. And then Andrew Wiggins situation where he got the ball. Luka was supposed to be guarding him. Luka closed out half-heartedly. Wiggins drove toward him. Luka matadored. Maybe the matador is a good nickname for him. Luka matadored. Wiggins went on his way to the bucket for lay. Those types of play plays are unacceptable in my opinion.
I saw a lot of people complaining about the closing lineup. What were your thoughts on that?
I don't like seeing Tim Hardaway Jr. on the court late in a basketball game. I don't know. He could make a shot, right? That's a thing that Tim Hardaway Jr. could do. But the percentage of him making a shot versus him giving up some BS is too high in the giving up some BS portion of the program. I would have loved to see Exum or DJJ. And I saw people saying, you know, the day had been cold. Tim Hardaway Jr. is a walking ice cube. I don't want to hear nothing about them being cold. I care more about the defense, in my opinion, in that closing lineup. I don't care about the offense when I have Luka and Kyrie on the goddamn court. That's how I feel about it.
Fair.
Any other comments about that game?
No.
So we came in, we said we were going to do our playoff rotations, and did you do yours?
Yes. I have a question, though. I should ask this. It isn't going to change it drastically, but do we have to stick to eight, or is it like eight or nine?
I was going to let you play it how you wanted to play it, because I had a hard time with some of this.
it's tough. I say, because eight is hard.
You got to explain. Honest,
I don't see us doing an eight-player rotation.
Yeah, you got to explain your rationale.
Okay.
So let's go with the obvious.
Starting lineup.
Get it out of the way. Luka
Kyrie. And this is a team fully healthy.
Yes.
Yes.
Luka Kyrie are mm-hmm. locked in. I think everybody feels pretty good about that. I don't think anybody thinks that's controversial. Daniel Gafford at the five, safe. PJ Washington at the four, safe.
Yes.
So the first question is, who do you start with that group?
I'm going to stick with Derek Jones Jr.
Same.
I ain't going to switch it up.
I have DJJ at that starter spot, maybe 20 minutes a game, though. Not necessarily big minutes unless the situation calls for it.
Yeah.
Who is your most important reserve?
Derek Lively.
Ooh. Explain your rationale.
I think our center rotation has been, technically speaking, our third person as far as scoring goes. We get like 14, 15 points a game between those two. And I think it's very important. And I think that continuity with rim protection and defense at the center position on the floor is very important as well. So I think Derek Lively, I mean, to be fair, I think two guys, Derek Lively and another guy, are equally as important, but I have to choose one. I'm choosing Derek Lively because since we've had that center rotation with Lively and Gafford, it's changed the team drastically. And it helps the defense that you don't have to worry about, Gafford's in foul trouble. Well, we got Lively off the bench. Oh, Lively's in foul trouble. Oh, well, we still got Gafford. You don't have to worry about a Dwight Powell coming in to play or taking Maxey out of the power forward position and putting him at center. So I think Derek Lively is the most important reserve off of the bench.
For me, it's Dante Exum.
That was the other guy.
Dante X Factor. That's what I got to do. Not only because he can handle the ball, take some pressure off of Luka and Kyrie, but he makes plays. Like, he makes plays defensively, and he's been hitting his threes this year. Hopefully, it doesn't decide to disappear in the playoffs, but we'll see. But he's the reserve off the bench. I hope, I expect, I'm not going to say expect, Jason Kidd's still the coach.
Yeah.
I hope gets the most minutes as far as he can play with Luka and Kyrie in closing situations, in my opinion, especially if his shot is falling. And I expect him to be there to spell those two so that we don't wear them down in the playoffs as well. Do you want me to give my seventh? Or
yeah, you go ahead.
So I struggle. I struggle with this, and this is where the controversy comes in. And I did, here's what I did. I did a combination. I did it twice. Lively / Maxi. So I want to come back to your situation.
I think I know what you're about to do here.
Said Lively
twice.
What is your statement, or what would you say to people to say, you know, we got to be able to go small, and that means Lively may not get the minutes, or people who say, you know, Lively's a rookie, we don't know if we can trust him in the playoffs. Like, what are your responses to those two statements?
My response to the second statement would be prove it. Give him the chance to show, okay, we can't trust him. Put him on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we still got Gafford. We don't have to 100% rely on him being the only center to protect the paint.
Right.
You can't just automatically say, oh, he's a rookie, we can't trust him. We've been trusting him all season. He deserves that chance to play in the playoffs. To the first statement, I don't think we have to go small with anything. I think the minute you allow a team to make you go small and take you out of your element, you've lost the game and possibly the series. Those will be my two responses.
So before last night, I had Maxi as my big off the bench, with the idea being that we'll likely have to play small against some teams. And I expect that. I respect that. After last night, I realized I was contradicting myself in the way that I want basketball to go.
Yeah, because I know what you say. And
yeah, so yeah. We can't let people dictate how we play. We play well with Gafford and Lively being our two centers and making people deal with the fact that we have two true centers.
Right.
That is one way that we control the game. We don't, again, like you said, I say it all the time, don't let your opponent dictate how you play basketball. What I saw last night was with Lively out, we did not play basketball the same when Gafford went to the bench. And that's not a positive.
And my thing is, okay, that team goes small. We're at a disadvantage on the perimeter. Cool. They go small. They're at a disadvantage in the paint. We have rim protection. They don't. On the boards, we have possible chances to get second chance points because we're bigger.
Right. And people get caught up in, and people have gotten caught up in the three-point wave, the three-point craze. I saw somebody saying, I think three-point shooting is down this year across the board. I think three-pointers made is down as well. The big man renaissance is upon us. As I anticipated when I was clowned for saying that the big would be back, the big is back. And like you said, if they get an advantage on the perimeter because we're big, we get an advantage in the paint. Three-point shooting percentages are lower than paint percentages. And as you mentioned, second chance points. So if we're getting more shot attempts, more close to the rim shot attempts, we are likely going to survive those minutes where other teams go small. And if we're able to, if Luka and Kyrie are effectively pounding the paint, getting to the rim, using the bigs, then the other team will fold and bend to our will, and they will try to go bigger. That is the goal. The goal is to make the other team change their game plan. We shouldn't change ours. It works for us. We ball when we play Gafford and Lively back to back. So honestly, Lively is on the front line. I do expect Maxi to get some minutes, some games, but if I had to pick one, I would personally go with Lively as of today. So it's really Exum Lively so far for me off the bench.
I mean, I told you my other guy was Exum when I said it was between important. So yeah, my seventh guy is Dante Exum. This is where the hard part comes.
Yeah.
Because even if we go eight, if we go eight, it's hard. If we go nine, it's hard.
Yeah.
And I hate to cop out, but it depends on matchup and it depends on who's doing what. Okay. So it's hard to go with a specific set. But I have to go eight. I would put I put Tim Hardaway Jr. at eight. I hate to do that, but when you're in the playoffs, you need a motherfucker that's going to shoot the ball. Now, granted, as of late, Tim ain't been shooting like Tim. And I don't even mean at the success rate. I mean at the volume. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, because it's a good thing that he's not shooting us out of a game when we don't need him to go, it's Timmy time.
Yeah.
But it also means when we need Timmy time, we either not getting Timmy time or the shot's just not falling. You need a flamethrower or a spark plug like that in the playoffs. I think it's very important. And granted, we're just talking about set rotations. In real time, if shit ain't working, he could just take, well, it's Jason Kidd. He's not going to take him out of the game. But I still feel like, unfortunately, he's needed. And he's on the team, so we're going to use him. So my eighth guy is Tim Hardaway.
For
sorry to the listeners.
Yeah, for most of the same reasons, Tim is also my eighth guy. This is where Josh not taking that step hurts.
Yeah.
Because it should be Josh. Josh not taking that step and Josh being hurt. I don't know what his injury situation is as of today. But those two things have it to where I have to concede that Tim is the eighth guy. This is the biggest weakness in our team right now.
Yeah.
Is the Tim spot. The score off the bench, if we had somebody we could depend on a little bit more, I would feel a lot better, not just as a defender, but even as that score. Because I can deal with a guy taking the right shots and missing. But when Tim is doing what he does, it just throws everything off completely. Yeah. Whether it's, I'm not even gonna get into detail. Y'all know what the hell he be doing. That's where it gets tough for me. That's where I get scared. And there are gonna be games where he probably wins as a game because he is hitting, but there are also gonna be games where he might lose as a game because he's not hitting. Or he's not playing defense in a crucial moment. And that's going to suck. It's going to suck. I'm going to hope that Jason Kidd is very quick with the leash for a DJJ for Tim. The other guys, the other six, Luka, Kyrie, PJ, Gafford, Exum, Lively, I think we got to roll with them. I don't know if there's too much of a substitute you can do. Even if PJ's not hitting, what the hell is Maxey doing in that regard if you substitute him out? That will be the only other controversy that I could see. But as far as that three spot, I want that DJJ, Tim, Exum, Josh. I need that to be pretty fluid based on how things are going in that game, based on how that person has performed as of late. I expect to see all those guys. I expect to see 10 guys. Maybe not every night. There's probably going to be nights Josh doesn't play. I would definitely not be surprised to see that. Might be nights Maxey doesn't play. Perfectly fine with that too. But as far as that top eight, it's Luka, Kyrie, DJJ, PJ, Gafford, Exum, Lively, and Tim for me as well. I feel good about it for the most part.
Don't.
But yeah, like when doing this exercise, I realized that there is still work to do. It excites me for this summer to see what we do. Okay. But in the meantime, we still have some very clear weaknesses to go with our very clear advantages with our top line and the fact that we actually have a center now or two.
If we have to go, I know what my answer is. If we have to go with a ninth guy between Josh and Maxey.
It's Josh for me.
It's Maxey for me.
Why Maxey instead of Josh?
Because sometimes I like the Maxey power forward lively guy for that center line.
Okay. I think they both have the same issues offensively.
Yeah.
Where I can't trust them to take the shot. Josh has had his struggles defensively. I think in my head, he's still a body you could throw on somebody's best guard for a little while. And I haven't fully come back around on Maxey yet. I'm still scared of his toe falling off. So that's where I'm at with it. Not mad at the group overall, but there is work to do.
There's work to do, but we focusing on it now. So
yeah. All right, we're at 9 o'clock. I don't know what time you gotta actually leave. We're an hour into the show.
I may not have to leave. You may be coming to me, but I'm just waiting for the message.
Okay. Shall we get into this unsung hero?
Yes, we shall.
I don't know where this is going to go. I did not even double check to figure out where I think it could go. Mm-hmm. So let's see what you got.
I think you'll be pleased. Okay. Unsung Hero of the Week Award. I already knew because I didn't watch the game last night.
Okay.
After the Kings game and the Rockets game, I knew who I was giving the award to.
Okay.
For the first time this year. The Unsung Hero Award goes to Dante Exum. One, for his performance and resilience in the Kings game and helping us get that victory. His defense and shooting in the Rockets game to help us whoop they fucking asses. This the Dante Exum we get in the playoffs. This team that is already hard to beat is going to be even harder to beat. And he is officially back in the NBA. I would love to see him here long term. We finally have that ball handler off the bench, and he's given us so much more on top of it. Shout out to Dante Exum for winning his first Mavs Outsiders Unsung Hero of the Week award. Now, on to the forecast. I predicted the record for last week at 2-1. Let's see if I can do it again. Weatherman Bibbs, as Cyclops said in X-Men 97, give him the forecast.
I don't know what the hell he was talking about a forecast for, unless it was a storm reference. Anyway, we got a long week ahead of us. It's going to be a very interesting week, some very interesting matchups. Let's get into it. First, Thursday. We play the Atlanta Hawks. That was a little bit of a rivalry back in the day. Seems to have cooled off quite a bit. But the Hawks have been playing pretty well recently, trying to secure their play-in spot. The Mavs need to bounce back after that loss against the Warriors, and no better place to do it than at home against a former foe. I'm not sure if Trae Young is back anytime soon. Is Trae Young out for the season?
I'm not sure, to be honest. He's doing his little podcast.
All right. Haven't heard anything about Trae Young, but DeJounte Murray's been hooping, and a lot of the fans are getting excited again about the potential of a postseason stealing a playoff bid. We'll see how that plays out for him. Then we got a back-to-back. We stay at home, but the Warriors coming out to play. Warriors back in town. They are, again, trying to hold on to that 10th spot as well. We're playing two very desperate teams back-to-back. How about that? The Warriors back in town, they just stole our shine. Will we get it back on Friday on the back second night of a back-to-back? We'll see. Moving forward on Sunday at 3:30 Eastern, that's 2:30 for our Central Time Zone, folks. It's the Rockets blasting off. Team Rocket. Anyway, it's going to be the Rockets. Again, that's a team that's an 11 seed trying to get back into that play-in hunt. So three desperate teams in a row. Maybe the Rockets aren't as desperate depending on how the rest of the week plays out. If we beat the Warriors and then lose to the Rockets in their heads, not in ours, they may have a little something to play for if we win that Warriors game on Friday. So Sunday against the Rockets. Then on Tuesday, headed to Charlotte. Somebody else may be headed to Charlotte as well. It's the Mavs at Hornets. Hornets have been playing like booty butt chicks for quite some time. Finally shut LaMelo down for the season. Should hopefully be a cakewalk, but we know how that played out for us last year. PTSD may kick in for your boy. May kick in. And then finally, another back-to-back. God damn, Adam Silver. Five games in a week. Did you see Luka's leg meat falling off the bone? We're going to play at Miami on Wednesday. That's a team that also has a little bit of a push going on. They're playing well right now, and that's another rivalry. So we're just loading it on up here on the back end of the schedule. You're shaking your head at the rivalry idea of the Miami Heat. What did I miss? No beef with the Heat. All right, anyway, playing the Miami Heat. And, again, another team with something to play for. We got four teams with something to play for here. Two on the second night of a back-to-back, and then the Hornets mixed in there for old time's sake. Would be nice to blow them out by 50. But we'll see how that plays out. Reese, how are you feeling this week, brother?
I'm feeling good. The Warriors' loss does not change how I feel about this team at all. If I had to guess, 4-1.
Okay. I was going to say 4-1. Also, who's the loss coming to?
Miami.
That's also where I was leaning.
Okay.
If it wasn't the second night of a back-to-back, I might not feel like that.
Yeah.
But because it is, and the fact that it's in Miami, I'm leaning towards that being a bad night for us.
Yeah. I can see us losing that game.
With that said, if we do clap the Hornets quickly and efficiently, maybe everybody's not as tired going into Miami, but we'll see how that plays out.
That would be ideal. This ain't the old Mavs team, man. I think they'll go in and handle business. We saw what they did to Houston. If we could do the same thing but worse to Charlotte, that would be great, but we'll see.
Yeah. I personally said that I don't expect the Mavs to lose more than two games the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And Miami was one of those games I had circled as a potential loss. So, we already lost one of the two games and I wasn't expecting us to lose to the Warriors, but, I wouldn't expect us to lose more than two more games. And if we steal one of those two games, I wouldn't be surprised by that either. Like you said, I believe in this team. It is unfortunate we're not going to have Derek Lively for this little home push, but maybe that makes people sleep on us for when he does come back later in the season.
That is true.
That's it. That's the podcast, I think.
All right.
Shall we close it on out?
I think so.
All right. Until next time, folks. Peace.
Peace. We'll be right back.